And now for something completely different.
If your AWS bill is too high, I've got something you should try. Famous cost effective. Don't you ever forget it. I said famous cost effective. Why don't you get it, get it, get it, get it?
Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, and this is the AWS Morning Brief. Before we dive in, a quick congratulations to former sponsor Epsagon on being acquired by Cisco for what was reportedly $500 million. Great outcome for them. Cisco reportedly can't wait until the acquisition closes so that they can begin ruining the product, because that's Cisco. I have been a paying Epsagon customer for a while, and the product is incredibly well designed. I'm going to really miss it once Cisco does what Cisco always does to companies it acquires. One other bit of news is that Deirdre Strong, longtime luminary in the space, has given notice at AWS. For those who aren't aware of who she is or what she does, I urge you to correct that. She's going to take some time off between roles. There's no way to slice it that this is absolutely a loss for AWS. Anyone who's spoken to her for more than 5 minutes can validate that. So what happened last week in AWS? Let's dive in. Amazon EC2 Hibernation adds support for C5D, M5D, and R5D instances. So let me get this straight. You're telling me that there are still modern era instance types that don't support hibernation? I feel like some of these announcements from AWS are low-key versions of, oh, and in today's good news report, the wolf that was eating people that we didn't tell you about has been safely recaptured. Amazon Workspaces renews Windows desktop experience with Windows Server 2019 bundles and 64-bit Microsoft Office 2019. Let me save you digging into what the hell that means. This very odd use of the word renews means that they now offer Windows Server 2019 options. That's it. Announcing general availability of Amazon Redshift cross-account data sharing. Historically, the way to share data like this cross-account was to have the good sense to pay Snowflake instead of using Redshift. AWS Transfer Family expands compatibility for FTPS/FTP clients and increases limit for number of servers. If you hear this and wonder why anyone would care about FTPS or FTP in 2021, let's move on to the next item, because this service is very much not for you. For those who still have to deal with those things, this release is glorious and very welcome. Also, the difference between the two of you is generally whether you're working in a regulated industry like finance. Please don't ask further. AWS Cost Categories introduces split charge rules for allocation of shared costs. This change is not well thought through in a couple of ways, so I'm going to ignore it to instead highlight AWS cost categories once again. They are a great step forward for AWS cost allocation, so you should use them. Please, for God's sake, use them. Preventing free trial abuse with AWS Managed Services. Given that the AWS free tier is universally reviled for surprise bills, Amazon has less than zero credibility to speak on this entire topic. I would not have published such a thing if I were in their shoes, but my understanding of the customer billing experience also ensures I will never find myself in their shoes to begin with. Amazon EC2, 15th years of optimizing and saving your IT costs. That is what it says in the title. EC2 ushered in a brand new way of computing. It is virtually impossible to overstate what it's done for customers and the industry at large. But instead of talking about that, AWS credits it with saving money, which is the absolute last thing that EC2 customers would ever say about the service. And that's okay, because the value of it is a capability story. But pushing the "it's cheaper" narrative does no one any favors, because no one believes you. Introducing Amazon MemoryDB for Redis, a Redis-compatible, durable, in-memory database service. Discontent with their original attempt at challenging Redis Inc. with ElastiCache for Redis, AWS takes a second bite at the same apple by releasing this molten pile of garbage. I spun up a cluster in the console myself the day that it was released, and it's a disaster along every axis I care to name. It's incredibly expensive. There's a 20 cent per gigabyte ingested fee on top of an instance fee. What? It's totally not Redis, but still has Redis in the name. It bolsters the AWS competes with everyone arguments. It's only available in a handful of regions that don't include most of the ones that you'd expect it to. Availability in US East 1 varies by availability zone. The console spin-up experience is a throwback to the guess, check, get yelled at, try again early days of EC2. Provisioning a cluster takes a good 15 minutes. And various things like documentation on the product's marketing page lead to a 404. Lastly, it's badly named because you should absolutely forget MemoryDB. Look, I strive mightily to avoid trashing services as they come out because I don't want people at AWS to feel bad about their work. Empathy is important, and I stand by that. I have empathy for the people behind the product, but I have no sympathy for releasing a clearly unusable product while expecting people to like it. This service displays what appears to be zero empathy for the customer, and I'm not sure I'd call whatever process built this thing work. It's actively customer hostile, partner hostile, and brand hostile. The only story about this service that makes sense to me is that this is an amazing act of selfless partnership with Redis Inc. Because all Redis has to do is give their prospects a few $100 in AWS credits to try MemoryDB, and then they'll be drowning in business themselves. This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Chaos Search. You could run Elasticsearch or Elastic Cloud or OpenSearch, as they're calling it now, or a self-hosted Elk Stack. But why? Chaos Search gives you the same API you've come to know and tolerate, along with unlimited data retention and no data movement. Just throw your data into S3 and proceed from there as you would expect. This is great for IT operations folks, for app performance monitoring, cybersecurity. If you're using Elasticsearch, consider not running Elasticsearch. They're also available now in the AWS Marketplace if you'd prefer not to go direct and have half of whatever you pay them count toward your EDP commitment. Discover what companies like Klarna, Equifax, Armor Security, and Blackboard already have. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io and tell them I sent you just so you can see them facepalm yet again. New Amazon EC2 M6i instances powered by the latest generation Intel Xeon scalable processors. Almost 4 years after the M5 launch, in return for a 15% price performance gain? As a rule of thumb, you might want to avoid anything net new on the x86 architecture if you can avoid it. Python 3.9 runtime now available in AWS Lambda. This is big news for a few weeks from now, once the various tools and frameworks people use to intelligently stand up serverless applications realize that a Python 3.9 runtime exists. Best practices, Redis clients, and Amazon ElastiCache for Redis. This is super helpful and interesting. Here's how to configure your client software to make the best use of our managed service is something that I would love to see more AWS services take a stab at. Unlocking the $1 trillion value of cloud for AWS. When the first words of the article are business cases for cloud migration, it's really hard to view this through any other light. Who pays? Decomplexifying technology charges. How to make costs simple and well understood as a thesis is directly at odds with the word decomplexifying in the title. I should note that when I wrote this out, my spell checker is throwing a conniption fit over the word. And it's not the only one who is. Implementing CloudWatch-centric observability for Kubernetes native developers in Amazon Elastic Kubernetes Service. This reeks of whatever the exact opposite of best-of-breed technology selection is. Introducing AWS Security Analytics Bootstrap. An open-source framework is a pretty lofty description for a CloudFormation template that spins up a bunch of AWS services that will cost you money. And finally, how U.S. federal agencies can use AWS to improve logging and log retention. Whatever diagrams or artwork this blog post includes should just be rewritten as a burning dumpster into which U.S. federal agencies may more easily shovel money. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, and I implore you to continue making good choices.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.